This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, and this is Tech Talk. Tighter travel restrictions, closed borders, grounded flights. Asia Pacific has been bracing itself for the next wave of COVID-19 infections. For businesses, the struggle intensifies. Some companies have activated their business continuity plans and implemented remote working arrangements for the rest of the year. But for many others, this is not an easy feat. And on the show today, I'm speaking to Avinash Gowda, the country manager for Nutanix Malaysia, to talk about how technology can support your businesses through these tough times and remain efficient and productive. Avinash, perhaps we can start a quick intro about yourself first.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jeff, for having me on Tech Talk today. Pretty excited about it. Coincidentally, today completes my first year anniversary with Nutanix Malaysia as the country manager. It's been a wonderful ride. I'm super excited to be here. Nutanix really helps our customers modernize their data centers. And especially in Malaysia, we're seeing a major transformation because customers are facing multiple choices. And Nutanix software basically unifies private, public, and distributed clouds so that IT can actually deliver applications and data that power Malaysian businesses. And that's a major transformation journey that we're seeing today. Personally, for myself, I came to Malaysia back in 1999, right? So it's been almost 20 plus years since I landed on the shores of Malaysia, and Malaysia's home for me. And worked in multiple companies, but primarily the last decade or so has been around working with companies that have gone through a cloud transformation, moving from traditional on-premise software to driving cloud agendas and helping FSIs and other customers embrace cloud technologies to deliver productivity at scale.
Now, before this pandemic happened, so you talked a lot about driving your customers to move into a cloud-based applications. What has been like the biggest challenge or obstacle before this pandemic happened? Because now it's like, you know, you got to have it in order to have some sort of continuity in your business. But before this pandemic happened, what has been like the major obstacles that we seem to have overcome at the moment?
Well, I think if you look at some of the challenges that many enterprises have faced, I would say it's about inertia, right? And it's kind of unfortunate, but back in the 90s, there was the buzzword around business process reengineering, right? And while this pandemic has actually been a forcing function to make many companies do just that, they're basically have to look at their existing processes and see how they can be leaner, more efficient, more productive, and even more adaptable. It's about doing more with less. In the past, without this kind of crisis. I mean, Winston Churchill stated that never waste a good crisis. This crisis has basically forced people to really relook at what they're doing and see how they can do things better. So if you look at the COVID-19 situation as it escalated, it hit us so fast. And we were talking about this earlier. It hit us so fast. I don't think many people had planned for the severity and the depth of what it would, how it would impact us. But it's been vital for businesses to, you know, basically relook at their existing setups, to evaluate ways that they can save money, remain efficient, and the most importantly, it's about surviving. How can they still continue operations? How can they prioritize productivity and continue at least keeping up and alive, right? And the interesting thing is that most of the technologies that keep businesses up and running were more or less readily available. It's not something new, right? We saw a rapid increase in, and we were talking about it in terms of adoption of many cloud-based services, such as video conferencing, collaboration, and the use of messaging tools and apps to maintain contact and productivity among employees, even as the MCO and the movement restrictions were put in place. And the underlying factor or the underlying supporting mechanism has been the cloud. The cloud has already powered most of these incredible technologies. We talked about VDI or virtual desktop infrastructure and desktop as a service or DaaS. And this is a perfect example of how, existing off-the-shelf technology could step in to keep folks connected. In the past, I think many companies never realized that disaster recovery or business continuity were all plans that were tested or evaluated once in a while. But now this is something that they really have to start running, right? And while technology, of course, is just one factor, the most important thing I talked earlier about inertia is the business or the individual's ability to, you know, rapidly pivot. An example like was that many companies, including Nutanix, our, my own company, right, we were able to make the shift, right, from in-person events. When we do marketing, we quickly pivoted from in-person events to virtual ones. We didn't see a drop in productivity. And in actually many cases, we saw, you know, increased participation and engagement. We saw a marked increase in both the technical decision makers and business decision makers at many of our virtual events over the last few months. And the feedback that we've been getting is that many of these guys were better able to plan their time for attendance and focus versus the in the past where they had to spend a lot of commitment in terms of the travel to a traditional event. And this was actually a pleasant surprise for me, as my immediate concern during the MCO was whether we would see a drop in productivity, right? On a personal note, I was actually able to connect more with my family and friends. And I think many of us have had virtual drink sessions over video conference, right? Something which I'd never even considered to do before the MCO.
So that's interesting in a way, because I think personally, even on my end, I've noticed productivity has really increased despite the, you know, physical distancing that we're all experiencing at the moment. But you know, the strategies in how, you know, one would implement something like this before the pandemic would normally take, you know, months to really sort of, you know, have an overview of the the company's current policies and strategies and how to move forward to do a shift like this, because it is quite major. But yet this pandemic has sort of like forced everyone to jump into it. As you rightly pointed out, it's to survive. What are some of the considerations that companies should now undertake in order for it to actually to continue along at risk of, you know, not going through some failures once, you know, the pandemic kind of settles down?
That's a good question, Jeff. So if you look at it, technology is becoming, you know, so super integrated into our lives, right? And if I can simplify it, we can basically boil this down into the three laws of technology and how they apply, right? These are the laws of economics, the laws of the land, and the laws of physics. And I think this can be applied to technology, especially when it comes to, you know, compute. So how do we take something as basic as compute and continue growing that so that you can continue to be productive during the crisis and even post-crisis? Because let's face it, in this region, we're not strangers to pandemics. We're not strangers to natural disasters. So this is just one incident of a pandemic that has cut very deep, and we need to be prepared for it. So taking the idea of compute, because every technology has compute in it, right? So let me elaborate a bit about laws of economics, right? So it's using technology to improve productivity. For example, using, you know, software, cloud, automation, and AI, artificial intelligence, right, to operate more efficiently. We are seeing right now traditional models around office space, car ownership, and even retail challenged by technology in this new normal. And this is something that's happened so fast. So, for example, why does one need a full-fledged office setup when the teams are working from home and will probably continue working from home or in shifts for the foreseeable future, right? The second is the law of the land, right? How are you using technology to ensure security? An example of this is what we use every day when we enter the office in Minera Ken, for example, is to conform to the tracking SOPs. We have all gotten so used to checking in wherever we go, you know, picking up our phones and using it as an extension of ourselves to check in and collectively try to ensure that we maintain safe distances and ensure safety. And we're seeing our phone as not only a communication device, but also as a contactless payment device and a device that actually protects you and me by enforcing social distancing. Companies have to pivot to this. Example is the booking apps that we have to pre-book, right, to block an exercise slot in the gym. Everyone has to adapt, and that's how businesses need to think about how do they adapt to this new digital normal. The third law I spoke briefly about is the laws of physics, right? So deploying technology, how do you deploy technology closer and closer to the edge where the data actually resides with individuals? Healthcare and finance are examples where, you know, we're seeing innovation really occurring. For example, collection of sensor data at remote locations to support telehealth applications to diagnose without putting folks at risk. Another is the ability to deploy and we're seeing this in many of our enterprise customers, how do you deploy services and servers that can rapidly scale up to meet demand when you just cannot travel? So these are technologies that have managed to help some businesses to continue operations, you know, while navigating what is essentially unpredictable and uncertain. You're right. The majority of traditional infrastructure in Malaysia is pretty legacy. It's hardware-based, often slow, inflexible, and costly in terms of both cash, space, energy needs, and even the people needed to support it. So now is really the best time for companies to relook at what they have and question the status quo and do more with less, right? Really reevaluate what they're spending on.
I'm speaking to Avinash Gowda, the country manager at Nutanix Malaysia, talking about using technology to overcome disruption, and we'll continue in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, and on the show today with me is Avinash Gowda, the country manager at Nutanix Malaysia. Avinash, recently in a survey by Gartner, only 2% of their respondents in the survey said that they can continue as normal. So there's still a large number of business owners who are worried about the continuity as this prolongs. And technology, you know, really can't solve everything here. So how do you foresee the changes that we're seeing now continue to evolve as we go through this pandemic?
I mean, absolutely, Jeff. I don't think we'll ever get back to what was normal, right? And many of the trends we're seeing today will probably continue moving forward, right? And especially now that we're seeing companies adapt. So how do you continue doing more with less? So if you look at it, taking cloud technology, for example, right? This is actually forcing a lot of companies to relook at what they have. And cloud is an essential element of it. So cloud technology and what we call HCI, or hyper-converged infrastructure, has really played a critical role in combating the current COVID-19, right? And helping to keep the economy running. I'm not saying this lightly or as a joke, because we actually saw a huge spike in demand from both research institutes and even pharma companies, big pharma companies, to rapidly deploy and keep up with demand that could only be addressed via cloud services. There's no other way they would have been able to deploy. And this is something, this is a key learning for many companies today, given the adoption of cloud. COVID-19 has basically accelerated the idea of multi-cloud reality in Malaysia, right? And the need for new skills, new technologies, and most importantly, new mindset and new partners, right, for companies to start deploying. I think for many companies in ASEAN and in Malaysia in particular, business continuity was, you know, as I mentioned earlier, was more of an afterthought. It's now becoming a priority, right? The outbreak has left millions of people isolated across the region and across Malaysia. And as a result, technology is what keeps the economy running and has been pushed really to the spotlight. So we have to really do something different now. Otherwise, we'll be back in this problem again, taking advantage of what we have. So as we, you know, kind of emerge from the next phase of this outbreak, right now we're in the recovery MCO, right? It's vital that businesses really start planning for the long road for recovery. The challenges of strengthening their business continuity and resiliency plans, the survivability of the business, and most importantly, workforce safety. How do you keep your people safe? These will not go away, right? These will continue. And this forces them to really make a fundamental change in the way they do business. Therefore, you know, businesses really need to relook at their leadership and also the technology infrastructure so that they can really prepare for the new digital reality where there'll be less and less old ways of doing things and everything will be new, right? So I'll give one example, right? We're starting from the transition from the traditional hardware-based, right, infrastructure, IT infrastructure, to something as simple as software-defined infrastructure, meaning that you don't need to have physical access to the data centers. In the past, people really wanted to see their investments, right? So they wanted access to the data centers. And I think now people realize it's no longer required, right? And central operations can be handled, you know, remotely or virtually by just some key skeleton staff. And that keeps the heart of many organizations pumping away, right? Personally, internally at Nutanix, right, we've been approaching digital transformation in a very innovative way by simplifying IT, making cloud and IT infrastructure so intelligent, so reliable and flawless that they're invisible, right? In the context of the IoT devices, edge computing, and they all have one common platform, right, which is simple management interface. This is very different from the old style multi-tier architectures. So many companies are looking at cloud, and this cloud adoption will definitely thrive during this pandemic. But operating different multi-clouds, hardware and operating system, you need to look at something that can really run. And that's why many customers are looking at our hypervisor, right, as a viable, cost-effective, cost-saving way to start this virtualization journey, because they need to virtualize first their applications if they want to take advantage of cloud, right? Overall, I think this approach will increase flexibility, and that's what's really required by enterprises today. How can they be flexible? Because if they remain inflexible, they will break. Right. And they need to be flexible to meet their customer demands and at the same time launch new services on different media, on mobile device, for example, right, or on different platforms. And the time to market has to be days, not months. Right. Coming to data, if you look at, you mentioned Gartner, I'll look at IMF, right? IMF has forecast Malaysia to actually, on a more positive note, grow at about 9%, right, from a growth perspective in 2021. This is versus the current contraction we're seeing in this quarter of 1.3 to negative 1.3 to negative 1.7%. So now is a good time to make the necessary investments and changes. I mentioned earlier, Winston Churchill said, never waste a good crisis. And we're seeing this play out in Malaysian enterprises today, with many taking a real deep look at people, process, and legacy infrastructure investments.
What's changed on your end? Because I'm sure, you know, throughout the number of years where of you going out and talking to potential customers, there's a lot of education to be done in terms of, you know, how they can adopt this and ease that transition. Right now, in this period of time, what's changed for you in your strategies going out to the market?
So, I mean, some of our fundamentals remain the same, right? That's one of the advantages of being a leader in the area of hyper-converged infrastructure, right? So if you look at it, enterprises today are basically looking at streamlining their infrastructure. We talked earlier about crisis forcing them to take a deep, hard look at people, process, and legacy, right, investments. So with the streamlining the infrastructure to basically eliminate complexities, speed up agility and processes, and minimizing costs. So this is really driving the cloud agenda in Malaysia. In particular, and the data also indicates that many companies who were in the past were very comfortable with the ways they were doing things are now evaluating the need, right, of cloud. So, and it's, when you're talking about cloud, I'm talking about all flavors of cloud, right? Not just the public cloud, but the private cloud as well as the hybrid cloud. So by taking a hybrid cloud approach, and this is something that Nutanix has been advocating right from day one, we're allowing IT teams in enterprises to become more agile, right? And we're seeing that as a consistent emerging trend. And this has been something that has been happening for a while, but the pandemic has accelerated it to a big extent. So it requires a whole new set of technologies and, as most importantly, different IT operating models. And this is reshaping how organizations across various industries, I'm not just talking about banking, but even retail and big pharma, healthcare, right? Across how different, and the government as well, across how different industries will function, not only now, but into the future, right? Businesses now need to look at how they manage what they've invested in, both on-prem as well as in the public and private cloud. And that's where I just want to spend a minute on what our core business is. It's something called hyper-converged infrastructure. It sounds like a big mouthful, but hyperconverged infrastructure, HCI, basically is the heart of cloud. It combines common data center hardware building blocks, right? Just locally attach storage resources, and most importantly, the intelligent software to create building blocks that replace legacy three-tier infrastructure, which are placed as separate servers, networks, and storage arrays. This is the heart of cloud, and this includes provides greater TCO, I mean lower TCO, much more improved performance, and most importantly, greater productivity between IT teams. So to your question of what we're seeing changing right now, I'm seeing a lot of enterprises a lot more eager to listen And that's, we're seeing that in terms of our participation and the questions and the engagement we're getting despite movement control from customers. And this is across the board, whether it's in enterprises to mid-market and even public sector. And the willingness to be open and listen is something that we're seeing really change. And that'll definitely drive the cloud agenda and momentum in Malaysia.
Could you give some tips or strategies for SMEs who have yet to start adopting mobile technologies to really go through these trying times?
Okay, this is interesting, right? Because I think the fundamental issue that many SMBs are facing is survivability. They are facing unique issues. So managing their cash flow is number one, and that's not something that I can really talk much to. But the government is doing some great initiatives with Panjana, the tax reliefs, and the incentives available. But I'll talk more from the IT perspective. So SMEs face very unique challenges. They need the same level of IT services as larger companies, right? They need the same level, but just to stay alive and to compete. But the issues they face are very different from large businesses, right? They don't have the ability or the budgets to hire or deal with complexity or hire the resources that are required, right? And of course, like I mentioned, budgets and cash flow is a major issue. Another thing is adding time constraints, right? But the focus right now is survivability. How do they survive? Transformation for SMEs is critical right now. And if I seeing it, technologies that increase productivity, such as cloud, are readily available. They're not something new. I mentioned earlier, these have all been available for the last few years, and this will actually lead to a lot more adoption. They're readily available to support enterprises and SMEs during these times. So many of them are cloud-based services, and such as video conferencing, collaboration, messaging. And we're seeing this playing out, right, in terms of how many SMBs are actually transforming themselves to or pivoting so that they can stay alive. And as I mentioned earlier, gyms with their and restaurants are now opening up and changing their models. We have also come out with, with the support for the SMB community with a free software that allows customers to set up their virtual desktops and still be productive. And many of these cloud-based services are available, and many companies have supported the SMB community by offering software at either reduced prices or free trials, just enough to stay alive, right, and to stay productive. As much of this technology is cloud-based, accessing it and implementing it is just as easy as downloading an app or a piece of software. So it's the ability to access it is also quite easy. There are also many public and private sector-driven support packages and promotions that assist SMEs. And as I mentioned earlier, the Malaysian government's short-term economic recovery plan under Panjana really strongly emphasizes accelerating the growth of digital economy, right? And 700 million ringgit has been allocated for digitalization of SMEs. I would encourage SMEs to take that and look into the requirements, both short-term and long-term, and investigate the available offers in the market. As I mentioned, technologies such as VDI, Virtual Desktop Infrastructure, and DAS can be easily incorporated straight away so that businesses can get up and running, right? And most importantly, I'd encourage them to start thinking longer term, reevaluate and relook at their current infrastructure, their hardware, and start being more cloud-centric as once this dust settles, once this COVID situation resolves, there will always be the next situation, right? So having a software-defined infrastructure such as HCI will be the only way for them to continue and grow, right? And what we've basically seen is take this relook now and look at the cost they're paying for existing software and infrastructure and see what they can do to optimize their overall spend.
In a way, I think in terms of mindset, really business owners got to look at this, as an opportunity instead of a really trying time. Yep. and a challenging time. There is a lot to gain during this time.
this will really separate efficiencies and inefficiencies. I mean, who would have known that a ride-hailing company would suddenly become the number one food delivery company, right? I mean, that's what my family has been using quite often. I mean, this is forcing innovation and change for every one of us.
That was Avinash Gowda, the country manager at Nutanix Malaysia, talking about how technology can play a huge role in your business survivability, which honestly isn't a real surprise. If you've missed out on the tips for your business, download the podcast now on the BFM website or the BFM app. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.